Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as United prepare to hand Michael Carrick a huge contract and £300 million with five transfers minimum on the list for Manchester United. We'll delve into that. We'll also be talking about Fernandes, Edison, Tchouameni, left-backs, strikers, loads to get into. And why you're stupid, not from my words, Rio Ferdinand's words, you're stupid if you don't want to give Man United the job You're stupid if you don't want to give Michael Carrick the job just because the performances haven't been good. You're stupid, apparently. There we go. We'll delve into that from Mr. Stupid. But let's get involved. Lots to get into this morning. Also bits on Ahmad, etc., etc. Hope you're doing very well. And anyone wants to talk about Baller League, I'm not doing that until very, very later. Probably won't do it at all. Anyway, let's delve into the show this morning. So we're going to start off first and foremost with something that's come out this morning. A lot of people talking about that. Manchester United, according to Samuel Lucas. We've also got Laurie Whitwell talking about Tchouameni. But this has come out from Samuel Lucas this morning that Manchester United are looking to make a minimum of five signings this summer transfer window. Five signings, I repeat. Three midfielders, a left back and a backup striker. That is going to go into the area of about £300 million straight away. Absolutely no doubt about it. If we're going to buy five players, it's going to have to be £300 million. And the funny thing is, I think some people talk about it and say, well, you know what? That's great. A minimum of five players. But I do actually say, until it's proven, it's got to be classed as spin, because I don't actually believe that putting stories out there that we're going to sign a minimum of five players does anything for anybody until it actually starts to happen. And as I said yesterday, the issue with this is it's nearly the middle of May and we're still talking about three midfielders that we've known. I knew we needed to sign three midfielders in September. So that's three of your five. And what? A left back and a backup striker. What about a winger? What about a right back? What about a centre back? What about a backup goalkeeper? So look, on the one hand, it's great. We need to, you know, we're going to buy five minimum players, but it's not something we don't know. You know, like if you win the title and, you know, when Arsenal win the title, if they say they're going to sign five players, that's a statement. Because you go, what? They've won the league and they're going to go and buy five players. Say Man United are going to sign a minimum of five players. I think that's information for morons, because it's like, well, hold on a minute. Yeah, okay, we're going to sign a minimum of five players. And that, you know, in my book, three midfielders is going to cost us in excess of 150 million. A left back's got to cost you close to 50. And then a backup striker, maybe another 30 to 50. That's 250 million, isn't it? That's a lot of money. So we can all do the maths very, very quickly. And maybe it's a little bit more than that if you pay a little bit more for your midfielders. But hold on a second. I saw Paul Merson said something really interesting yesterday. Some people might say that's quite rare. And he basically said, I'm absolutely convinced that Liverpool will finish above Man United next season. And you know, you might think, what is he talking about? But what he's basically saying is, I look at that Man United side and I think Liverpool have had a bad season and they're very close to Man United, whereas Man United have got away with it a lot and have exceeded expectation. I don't look at that United side and think there's gears to go through, but with Liverpool, I do. And I thought, you know, I think he's wrong. I'm not actually worried about Liverpool next season, but I think he's right in the sense that we are getting away with it. I mean, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro, Luke Shaw, Deleau, these players are not sustainable for the next season. What, one of them won't even be there. So much of our success next season, and it's been good success this season, nobody can say anything different, but so much of our success this season is based on moments, getting away with it, other people being shit. I don't think even the most positive United fan would say that next season, you know, get the Bob Marley music out because everything's going to be all right. Our next season depends so much on two things. One, how we handle, three things. One, how we handle doubling up on games, one game a week to two games a week. Point two, who the manager's going to be and how they deal with that. And point three, how sustainable and big this major rebuild in the summer is, because we're not a team that can go into next season and say we're ready to go. We're not. We have to have a major summer. So yeah, look, oh, it's so exciting. I'm so excited that Man United are going to sign a minimum of five players. Let me read it back to you. Samuel Luckhurst saying Manchester United. Let me read it to you because I don't want to get this wrong. That's Andy Mitten. We'll talk about that in a moment. Manchester United want a minimum of five signings to strengthen their squad next season. United's intention is to bring in three midfielders, a left-back, a backup striker, a new goalkeeper to provide support for Senny Lammens. That's six players, by the way. And you go, whoa, United, we're so bloody ambitious. And then you go, hold on a minute. They're only things we needed last summer. We needed three midfielders last summer. We needed a left-back last summer. We needed a backup striker last summer. We needed a backup goalkeeper last summer. So we're only, you know, it's not really strengthen, is it? Technically, it's fill holes. So look, they have to go and get those things done. Absolutely. And the proof will be in the pudding. Some people, I saw it on social media this morning. Some people are saying it in the chat. There's a new kit coming out tomorrow, on Thursday. There's a new kit coming out on Thursday. We're going to sign five players minimum. There's a new kit coming out Thursday. We're going to sign Tonali. There's a new kit coming out on Thursday. We might buy Vinicius Jr. There's a new kit coming out on Thursday. There's a new kit coming out on Thursday. There's a new kit coming out on Thursday. Don't tell me these things don't matter. Like, we've just had a flat result against Sunderland. Nobody's convinced by the manager, no one's convinced by the board, and no one's convinced by the squad. But there's a new kit coming out on Thursday. We need a bit of PR. We need a bit of PR, you know? And that's the problem. Maybe they're going to go and buy eight players, but when they do it, that's when they're going to applaud it. You know what United are like? It's like, oh, look at this big mansion I'm going to build you. It's got a swimming pool. It's got a massive garage. It's got a games room. It's got a cinema room. It's got, you know, lavish, you know, kitchen, everything, the lot. Great. Applaud me, Ben. We haven't built it yet. No, I've told you what I'm going to do. Applaud me. I'm not clapping you for something you told me you're going to do. Go and do it. Go and do it. And that's the problem with United. That's the path we always go down. We're going to do this. Oh, amazing. Elliot Anderson. Go and do it. And then I will applaud you, because I get quite a lot of feedback from people close to the club who say, you know what? You know, you're always moaning. You never give us any credit. And I always say, because I don't give out tokens of credits until you've got it. You have to earn it. If you go and sign Tonali, I will go, fair play to the club. Well done. There's a token of credit. Well done. There we go. If you go and get a manager in who plays a good brand of football and back him, well done. Well done. If you do stupid things, you get criticised. If you do good things, you will get criticised. That's what happens, all right? It's as simple as that. What's this about a big contract for Carrick? Right, okay. Few people have been talking the last few days, obviously, that Michael Carrick's going to get a new job. There are a few rumours going around that he's likely to get a one-year contract, right? This is nonsense. You know, I'm not a fan of giving the job to Carrick, right? You know that. I like the guy. I liked him as a player. I think he's done a decent job results-wise, but absolutely, one-year contract is not on the agenda, and they know exactly what will happen if they give Carrick a one-year contract. ironically, I'd probably be more vocal than Carrick Inners about that. If they give him a one-year contract, they can F off. That is absolutely not what's happening here, Wilcox. So don't you think about it, right? You are not cowarding your way through this one. If you give Michael Carrick the deal, you better give him a minimum of 3 years. You do not give Michael Carrick a one-year contract or a two-year contract because you're basically telling the world you don't think he's the right guy. If you think that Man United is a halfway house where you can have your foot in and out of the cold, of the water, you're wrong. You're a director of football for one of the biggest sports brands in the world, right? You make a fucking decision and you stick by it. You do not go to me, well, I don't know, I like Michael, but I wouldn't give him anything more than a year. No, bullshit. I don't think Carrick should get the job, but if you give him the job, you back him. Because if you don't want to back him, why are you giving him the job? And you know what? Some of us this morning were looking at Chelsea interviewing Alonso and Iriola and other people and were going, am I living in a parallel universe here? Is this really happening? So we need a manager since January. Chelsea have needed a manager for a fortnight and they're actually interviewing people like Xavi Alonso and Iriola and we're sat there going, Michael Carrick. I mean, I almost feel like Chelsea are playing a different sport. It's like they're a basketball team. Like I'm going, well, look at them. They're doing well with their manager, but it's a different sport. It's the same bloody sport in the same league, in the same country. And they're interviewing people like Xabi Alonso and Iriola with distinctive styles of play, by the way. And we're just sat there going, oh, 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 like a clapping fucking seal. So look, I think that's incompetence already. I think it's incompetent that Chelsea are interviewing managers and you're not. But if you're going to go with Carrick, don't you bloody well dare not interview decent coaches, give it to Carrick and then only give him a year. You see what I'm saying? Because some people won't get what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I wouldn't give it to Carrick, but they won't interview anybody else, which means they don't think anybody else is good enough. So if you think Carrick's good enough, you better give him a fucking 3-year contract, a minimum. You're making the decision that he's the guy. Bloody back him. Give him 3 years. Give him the players he needs then. Don't go and give him a one-year deal because that is... It makes no sense to me. There are other managers you can give the job to. You don't give an interim the job for a year because you're just telling the world we don't think he's good enough, so they better bloody back him. So look, it's got to be 3 years of Carrick, hasn't it? It's got to be. And, you know, I presume that's what many of you want anyway, but if you're Carrick in, you can't just go, let's have him for a year. I've never heard such shit in all my life. If you're Carrick in and you're saying give him a year, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're Manchester United. We need to get back. When Arsenal win the league, we're the biggest club outside of Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool and Arsenal with the longest time without a league title, 13 years. So, you know what? That's embarrassing. Forget Spurs. They never win a bloody cup of tea unless they're playing as an Europa League final. So, look, I think we have to give that contract and we have to get those players in, whoever it is. Absolutely. So look, my information is that when they give Carrick the job, it will be a big contract. So get ready for that. I don't know whether there's anybody naive enough to think that Carrick should get the job, but only for a year. That's like try before you buy. I mean, we're not in a position to be trying before we buy, and you make the decision and you stick with it 100%, 100%. Max says, Alonso, Chelsea and United have Carrick. It's mental, says Max. And I really don't understand how the results can be sustainable for next season. Luck will always run out, says Tom. And Daniel Thompson with the super chat this morning says, hi, Mark, hope you're doing well. Just on Baller League, I think you were completely justified and right. If some don't like it, fair enough, but I think you were right. On United, we need way more than five. Go all out for Tonali and Tchouaméni or Anderson. I'll delve into some of these transfer stories this morning because there's some interesting developments around Addison, Tchouaméni, etc. So we are going to delve into that. Daniel, just on the Baller League stuff, look, I appreciate everybody's support. It takes, I wouldn't say courage, but it's quite unique what happened, but I stand by it. You know, sometimes I've woken up in the morning and gone, I really regret doing that. I don't. I absolutely don't. And I actually think there's a lot more that could have been said. I think I was right on three things last night, and I think there's another three things that were dodgy as well. So I'm very comfortable, and next Monday night's going to be very interesting because we've got the power to really make a big mess of that league and the top four race because we're playing Wembley Rangers. So let's see. Alonso, Chelsea United. Okay, right. I want to talk about this because this just caught my eye. I got sent this, right? I want to know what your thoughts are on this. So let me see if I can find it. It was... I want to talk about that Edison thing in a moment, but I just want to see where this is. Maybe I didn't save it. I know where it'll be. What I don't want to do is get this wrong.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Okay, this was it. So, bit of news this morning. Rio Ferdinand basically saying that it's stupid to say that performances is the reason Carrick shouldn't get the job. People have got short memories. Even when we used to go away, our team's considered a great team and teams would be all over us and we'd find a way to win. That's just the difference now. These guys never managed to find a way to win, but now they are. So basically, what Rio Ferdinand is saying is that if you are somebody like me who thinks that the performances aren't good and that's a reason not to give it to Carrick, we're stupid because he used to play for Man United in a great team and they'd sometimes go away and not play well but get a result. I'm not going to run a poll. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. But apparently, we're now comparing Michael Carrick's Manchester United to Rio Ferdinand's Manchester United. That's like comparing Mars to Jupiter. It's a different fucking planet, Rio. What? And you're on a different planet. What are you talking about? I'd love to have a chat with this guy because he'd get absolutely rinsed. You know, if he wants to go personal, which he seems to want to do, that's a very dangerous game for him to do because, trust me, that would be a very easy win as well. But look, let's keep it on the football. The reality is, you can't say it's stupid for Manchester United fans to go, I'm worried about the performances, I'm worried about the vision, and that's why I don't want this manager. It's just a different opinion, Rhea. And it's a fair opinion. People could say you're stupid for ignoring it and saying, well, we should just give him the job on results. He's your mate. Just own it. It was the same with Solskjaer, with Neville and Keane and Scholes. It's just a different, you know, Solskjaer was 99 and so was Neville and Keane and Scholes. Carrick is 08 and so is Rooney and Ferdinand. It's just the same. It's just history repeating itself. You're just backing your mate. And that's absolutely fine. Carragher did it with Gerrard. You're backing your mate, but you're blinkered, pal. You can't compare a great United side to this team and say, well, we used to go away and get dominated and get a result. You used to play at home and batter teams. We don't do that. We're scamming results every bloody week because we're reliant on Bruno Fernandes. There is no tactics. There is no performance. It's not stupid for a fan to say, I don't want to give the job to Michael Carrick because I think he's inexperienced. I think the coaching's poor and I think the football's poor and I think we're getting away with it. It's stupid to say ignore all that and give him the job because we've been winning a few games. So, I think you're insulting half of the fan base because you want your mate to get the job. We're fully aware of why he's going to get the job. It's results. But a lot of us are going, where's the performance? Where's the vision? That's really important. And the hypocrisy of it is, under Amorim, the big problem there was he didn't get sacked because of results. Some people didn't like the results, but it wasn't that. It was the way he was playing. Well, surely that doesn't matter then. You know, surely that doesn't matter. Sounds good, but let's see if they actually do it, says VX. Your petulance cost the team, Mark. We're already losing, mate. I don't want to talk about Border League anyway. People tend to forget that even if we sign 7 or 8 players, a percentage of those will struggle. Another percentage will be mediocre. History tells us that, says Paolo. Tristan, thank you very much for being a member, 47 months. And Irish Beckham says, if Carrick gets the job, we're going to get exposed. Thank you very much. And also, I've done that one as well. Okay, right. Or Edison, let's move on. There's so much to get into on the show this morning. Edison, so a lot of people yesterday, well, I say a lot of people, journalists, content creators, jumping onto the Edison bandwagon, right? And I didn't really understand why, because all I've seen is a couple of, you know, Manchester Evening News reports in Italy have suggested personal teams have terms have already been agreed for Edison. And although that is understood to be premature, United do hold a firm interest in him. He's also spent the last 4 years with Atalanta and has won 3 caps for Brazil. That was pretty much that. Romano says that he's on the list of midfielders, definitely, and has been on the club's list since January. They made checks on him last summer, but were unwilling to meet the demands. So United are interested in him, yes, but it's not done. There are still no agreements and it remains open path, possibly for even other teams to get in the race. So I just think with Edison, I'd repeat what I said yesterday. It's agent-led, in my opinion. So Atletico Madrid and Edison, he should be wearing an Atletico Madrid shirt. The only reason he's not, is because they didn't want to pay the fee that Atletico Madrid wanted to pay. So Atletico Madrid are now moving on to something else, João Gomes. But Edison and his agent want out of Atalanta. Remember the 5 strands of a transfer. Total bullshit. Totally true. Agent trying to generate interest in his player. Club trying to generate interest in a player they want to sell. Or agent using, say, Man United to get a contract where they already are. I think this is 3. This is agent using Manchester United to generate interest in Edison because he's trying to get a move. I think he's on our list. I think he is on our list. But I do not think that this is advanced. I do not think that we are, close to this deal. But some people seem to think we are. And also, he doesn't actually... I like Edison, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. If we sign him, I'll back him. If we sign Belaba, I will back him. I've never been somebody that, I will say, I remember being in Nottingham at a family party and I'm driving back and we signed Matic and I'd had a few beers and I wasn't driving. I was in the passenger seat. I went live, the video's out there, and I wasn't happy about the deal. I wasn't happy about the deal. I said, I don't like this deal. I don't like it. But I backed him when he put a Man United shirt on because ultimately I think managers are the same unless it's Southgate, but certainly players. I think it's, I hate a bit with Ugarte when he had a nickname straight away and Dorgu. It's like you've got to give them time. Look at Liverpool, Wirtz, Frimpong, Kerkez, Isak probably could be all flops, but they're not flops because it's year one. You've got to give them a year two. So if we sign Belaba, I would give him time. And if we sign Edison, I would give him time. But with Edison, he doesn't even fit what we want. He's 27 before he kicks a ball. He's 27 this summer. He's got no Brazilian caps. He doesn't play for Brazil. He's got 3 caps at 27. He's not Premier League proven. He doesn't even... I don't like our parameters, but he doesn't actually fit any of them. You know, if I'm buying a player that's never played in the Premier League before, I'm going Tchouaméni or I'm going Stiller, maybe Nmecha at Dortmund. I like those profiles of players because I think they come in with... The Bundesliga is a good league. It's quick. It's intense. The Serie A is not. So I don't think Edison even suits what we're trying to do. If we sign him, I'll back him. But I just don't think it fits the profile of what we're trying to do, you know? So I'd be... I think this is... Unless David Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano say, look, we're very close to a deal, I feel it's noise. And we haven't got time for noise. I haven't got time for noise. I haven't got time for, ooh, is it going to be Edison? We need 3 bloody midfielders. There is a time and a place for, it could be Edison. And that's probably the first week of November. You know, when the transfer window's not open, middle of May is not the time for, ooh, we might be in for Edison. It's not. We need to be homing in on proper fucking signings. And Ederson, to me, is not the deal that we need to be spending time on in the middle of May. And I know we're not doing the deal, but what I mean is, we as fans don't need to be fed this by journalists in the middle of May. This is speculative. It's not even the right profile of player. Absolutely not. Look, Belabor and Anderson, says Gaz. I still believe. I said in January, I'm 90% sure we'll sign Belabor, and I'm 90% sure Carrick will get the job. Now, I don't want to keep getting these predictions right. I said in July last year, Arsenal would win the league, and people laughed at me. I've been saying all season, England will win the World Cup, and people have laughed at me. I said in January, Carrick will get the job and we'll sign Belabor. I don't want to be right on some of this stuff, but, you know, Arsenal are going to win the league. England's probably, look, hopefully they'll win the World Cup. Carrick is going to get the job. And Belabor may well be coming to Manchester United because it's a very easy deal to do. It's just going to cost us too much money. So, I'll talk about Tchouaméni in a moment, but let me just... I've had a super chat from Patrick I just want to talk about. Sorry, it's slowed down a little bit here. Come on. Get me live chat back. Thank you, everybody who's tuning in, as always, this morning. We've nearly got 9,000 watching already. Lots of people getting involved. Make sure you subscribe. Thank you very much from Tristan, who's been a member for 47 months. Paolo says, people tend to forget that even if we sign seven or eight players, a percentage of those will struggle. Another percentage will be mediocre. History tells us that. Yeah. Well, you know, very, very quickly, Paolo, it's a great point. Statistically speaking, and I'm going to bore people now. I'm not mentioning New York. Don't worry. Statistically speaking, it's less than it. It's like 60%, 40% of transfers technically flop. So if you buy 10 players, four of them will flop technically. Terribly, whatever, not be good enough. So 40% will flop. Patrick Lynch, thank you very much. Says, apart from results, performance is the biggest indicator of the quality of a manager, coaching. Ignoring one is a recipe for future problems. Look, Rio's a cheerleader for Man United. You know, he sat driving around with Casemiro in a car. He's literally, totally never going to say anything about the Glazers. He's never going to say anything negative. That doesn't mean that his content's not interesting. Absolutely not. You know, I respect the fact that, you know, being a content creator isn't easy. And he has got good access to the club. But he's a cheerleader, 100% cheerleader. He's not going to say anything negative about Carrick. Never will, because it's his mate as well. And he's not going to say anything bad about the Glazers. So, you know, ultimately, I would rather listen to Beth than Rio. And I'm not taking the piss out of Beth or Ricky or Maud's or, you know, I'd rather listen to Rory Jennings about Man United, to be honest with you. I nearly said talks, but I don't think I'd go that far. Because you might actually get a balanced opinion in there somewhere. They might actually say something that's truthful. And, you know, to say that performance isn't important in picking a manager, that's like saying, well, look, over the last 10 games, Glasner's had better results than Iriola, which he hasn't, but let's pretend Glasner has. I'm not taking Glasner on results. You know what I mean? Imagine if you're picking Tony Pulis or Harry Redknapp. Harry Redknapp plays a good brand of football. Tony Pulis doesn't, but Tony Pulis has won 8 of his last 10 and Harry Redknapp's won 6. I'm taking Harry Redknapp. How you play football and performance... To say it's stupid to I don't even understand why you think that's stupid. Why is it stupid to say that performance is a reason not to give a job to a manager? You know, you should just look at results. We're Manchester United. The guy played for Man United. So now it doesn't matter how Man United play. Fucking hell. Ederson and Maynou will be our new Fred and McTominay. The possibility of a Brazilian with no league experience and an academy prospect as United starting midfielder gives me PTSD, says Jid. Thank you very much, pal. And Gamer says, I hope you're well outside the United stand life. As far as I know, I am. Last night was very stressful, but, you know, I walk alone. Why do you expect good football from a mediocre squad with no depth, says Wendell. Give the guy some decent players and let's see what he can do. Ten Hag and Amrin weren't exactly playing total football from memory. That's fine, mate. But I think that opinion's got more holes in it than a hedgehog's pillow. So basically, what you're telling me is that you want to give Carrick the job and get him some players. Fine, I respect it. But why do you want me to agree with you? I've already explained. I don't want to take a punt on somebody that is grinding out results with crap football who's got no experience. I don't want to give him £300 million. For exactly the reason you've just said. Look at what we spent on Ten Hag. Look at what we spent on Amrim. They're not here anymore. Well, I don't want to take a punt on an inexperienced guy where I can see the red flags. I want to take a punt on someone who's experienced. It might not go right, but at least I'd be confident. That's my side. Respect. Respect it, Wendell. Respect it. Few other things to get on vault. Look, a couple of bits from Andy Mitten, actually. On Mason Mount's future at the club, I've not heard any doubts about him as a professional. I spoke to one Premier League manager at the start of the season and he went, what do you know about Mount? Who is clearly interested in him. Saturday was a game where too many players didn't do that. I thought Mason Mount worked hard, but what does that mean? Every player is going to work hard. United need more, and we could probably say this about five or six players. So where's Mason Mount ranked? Does he become third or fourth in midfield? What's his best position? I think it's right to debate around him. I think what we saw from Saturday is Man United need to be significantly strengthened for next season, especially with the Champions League. So look, Mason Mount, effectively Andy Mitten is saying that there's not really any noise around Mason Mount leaving Manchester United in the summer, and that he's well liked around the club. Do you want the truth, right? Because I think what Andy Mitten said is true. There's really big question marks around a few of our players that we're not going to sell. Delow isn't good enough to start right back for Man United next season in the Champions League. He's not good enough. So are we going to keep Delow as a bench player, or are we going to start him? Well, we're going to start him. Luke Shaw isn't good enough to be left back for Man United. He doesn't even play left back. And, you know, he's in his early 30s next year and we're playing twice a week. And Mason Mount, even if he can stay fit, which is very, very unlikely, where does he actually play in this team? You can't pay £250,000 a week for a player that doesn't have a role, who's nice to have around.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's happening with Mason Mount is nobody wants him. Nobody wants him, and we're stuck with him. So you get him out doing kit launches and you do a bit of PR around him, but nobody wants him. Nice guy, good player when he's fit, but nobody wants him. This is not about Mason Mount being shit. This is not about Mason Mount being a problem. This is not about Mason Mount turning up for training late. This is about high-end football and a massive mistake that we're stuck with. He has no role in that team. He is, you know, I've always said this, right? You can take any performance from any player and make it into a couple of minutes clip where you make them look like prime Messi. And some twat did it. They took Mason Mount's performance against Sunderland and said, we found our new CDM. And I watched it and it looked good. Because it was about 90 seconds long and it was every successful pass he made and every tackle he made. But it's like artificial intelligence, isn't it? You can generate something that didn't happen. I watched the game. He had a shit game. He's not a midfielder. He's on £250,000 a week. That's £1 million a month. He wears the Man United number 7 shirt. He shouldn't be anywhere near that team next season, but where's he going to go? People say loan him to Coventry. Coventry can't afford £250,000 a week. I don't think Coventry could afford £100,000 a week. So we'd still be paying £150,000 a week if he went on loan to Coventry, which we're not going to do. So we can't even loan him because nobody will pay the wage. So we are stuck with another potential Phil Jones where we give a stupid contract, a stupid wage, and nobody will take him off our hands. So I actually agree We just have to keep him around and hope that he can stay fit. And when he is fit, he can do a job here and there. I mean, we're literally trapped. We can't do anything. There's nothing we can do. It's not that, you know, obviously United's a PR machine. They've got to put it out there that, you know, we're really happy with him. We don't want him to go anywhere. But the flip side of that coin is, even if you're not happy with him, he's not going anywhere anyway because no one will take him. So, you know, it's... I'm trying to think of an analogy for it, but it's like something you'd love to get rid of, but you know you're not going to get rid of. So you're stuck with it. You know? It's like your mother-in-law. I'm joking. Why do you expect good football from Amit? I've done that one. Thank you very much. Okay, so we move on to the next story. What else have we got? Also on Bruno Fernandes, just on Andy Mitten for a moment. He says, I really hope he stays. As a United fan, I think he will stay. But the fact that I'm mentioning that tells you there's some uncertainty there. Look, I just on Bruno Fernandes, just very, very quickly, I think if you were talking to me about Bruno Fernandes and we were talking about Bruno Fernandes in January and February and March, I would have said, you know, 50-50. If we don't get Champions League football, I think he'll go. I think Bruno's got the power to say he wants to go. I think Bruno could say, if you don't bring a good manager in and you don't bring good players in, I'm going to go. But I think the way that Bruno has been treated by Carrick, there was a point with Bruno where I was really hoping he was going to go, I want like a Luis Enrique and I want Tonali and Tchouaméni, or I'm going to go. So, you know, I thought that might happen. And then what I think has actually happened is Carrick has basically said, you're like my player manager and I'm going to listen to you. And, you know, Bruno is just the star of the team and we're in the Champions League. And I think he's loving that. So I don't think Bruno's going to go, I think we need an experienced coach and I think we need these players. I think Bruno's loving it at United at the moment. And I think he likes this situation. So I think I think Bruno's going to stay. I think he's going to stay. I had hoped he was going to stay and force the issue a little bit, but I think he's going to stay. In relation to Tchouaméni, this is what Laurie Whitwell said on The Athletic. I think he's an interesting one to observe. Previously, I got the impression that he was a consistent performer for Madrid and questioned if they would sell him. But, you know, if he would leave or if a new contract was in the offering. But maybe there is unrest at Madrid and United are there to ask that question. I think with Tchouaméni, by the way, it's more about how United are just waiting to do Real Madrid a favour. But look, if Mourinho goes in there and he wants to keep him, that's off. And I think you've got to look at the midfield market and go, you know, it's off. I mean, Beth just said something here that Paul Scholes has said United have to sign Elliot Anderson. We're all going to have our own opinions on the midfield, aren't we? And, you know, I go back to that top tier shelf with Duncan Edwards. Up there, you've got a ball, Duncan Edwards, and a pair of football boots. There are three choices for Man United. There are Tonali, there is Tchouaméni, and there is Elliot Anderson. And if you don't get any of those three, your star players coming from tier two, which is Belaba and Wharton and whoever else. So I agree with Scholes. You've got to get Anderson or Tchouaméni or Tonali. Now, look, is this why we're being linked to Edison? Because we're not doing anything. I would have thought by now we would be firmly in. Now, look, if Mourinho comes into Real Madrid and says we're not selling Tchouaméni, that's the end of that. That's over, right? If Anderson signs for Man City, which a lot of people think he is, that's the end of that. That's over. And if Newcastle want £100 million for Tonali, which they do, we don't want to pay that. So that's over. So in the space of a few seconds, you can see how three options become none. And then what are we doing? And look, I still think Bruno Guimarães is worth it. But United don't want to pay for someone over 26. So I don't know where we go after that. I don't actually have a backup plan and I shouldn't need a backup plan to fucking four players. Like Bruno G, Tchouaméni, Tonali, Anderson. There's four players there that can come in and replace Casemiro. If we don't get any of them, we deserve what we end up with because we're going down to plan C or D again, aren't we? So on the one hand, it's really exciting. Ooh, Anderson. Ooh, Tchouaméni. Ooh, Tonali. And they're all possible at the moment. They're all possible at the moment. But if they all get crossed out, in my opinion, if they get crossed out, that is a joke. That is a failure. And remember, Everything we're looking at Man United now has got nothing to do with the players or Carrick. This is everything we're talking about, whether it's the manager or recruitment, is on the board and on Jason Wilcox. And if they don't get Tchouaméni, Tonali, Anderson or Bruno Guimaraes, then they've messed up. You can't replace Casemiro with Belaba or Edison. That's ridiculous. This is Manchester United. So look, we're sort of in that position now where everything is possible. Everything is possible. But as I said, you can wipe out those top four targets very, very quickly, or we might be spoilt for choice. Hi, Mark. If Carrick gets the job, do you think Mazraoui will be sold? Says Dirty Deeds. Well, I wanted to bring this in. I think this is really interesting. I don't know whether anybody else saw this. Yet again, Andy Mitten talking about Martinez. And I'm worried about this because I think, look, it might just be completely opinion by Andy Mitten. But I've heard a few stories in the last 2 weeks about Martinez leaving Man United. And I don't believe in coincidence. I used to have a job a few years ago where I remember sort of a mentor of mine saying, any job I turn up and somebody said, maybe it's a coincidence, it's my number one lesson to you. In this job, there's no such thing as coincidence. So I've always had a very skeptical mind, and it served me very well in that job. There's so many stories around about Martinez leaving Man United at the moment. And Andy Mitten said this, I think there's judgments being made about Martinez the same way there were judgments about Maguire in December. With Maguire, it was, you want a new contract. First of all, you need to be playing and playing well. Martinez's position is in a state of flux at Manchester United. Now, look, it's funny because it's interesting how Harry Maguire gets compared there. I think that sort of a conversation, that sounds like it's been leaked. It didn't sound like Andy Mitten was going, I'd keep an eye on Martinez. I've just got a feeling I think he might be leaving. It's like he gives a bit of detail there that you don't really give in an opinion. He goes on about Harry Maguire and how he got a new contract because he was playing well. It just feels like it's a little bit like something's coming out. I might be wrong and I hope I'm wrong, but it's not just Andy Mitten. There's a few other people. I feel like someone somewhere, and you'd assume in the club, is starting to load the bullets for Martinez to be moved on this summer. And it's almost like we as fans are meant to go, yeah, actually he is shit. And I'm like, the fact that people might compare it to Maguire. Harry Maguire's been injured a lot this season and last season. Harry Maguire's trying to go to a World Cup. Players who are trying to go to World Cups tend to play through injuries. Luke Shaw's been fit all season. There's a World Cup at the end of this. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking Luke Shaw and Maguire for that, or Casemiro or anybody else, but Casemiro's not really been out injured either. It's a World Cup year, and suddenly the calf strain that hurts and might keep you out for 2 weeks, I'll just play through it now. So look, I know a lot of footballers, and there are footballers that on a weekend might not fancy it because they've got a sore ankle. But if it's a cup game, they'll play. So look, it's a very naive thing to say, oh, let's give Harry Maguire another contract because he's playing well at the moment. Look, he's got a reason to play well. Man United are trying to get in the Champions League and he wants to go to the World Cup. Martinez is coming back from a bad injury. He got suspended for 3 games. I don't think you compare 33-year-old Harry Maguire to 28-year-old Martinez. And it worries me that we're almost... It's almost like they're trying to generate this thing in the fan base where people... And I see it now, where people go, well, I would get rid of Martinez. He's injury prone and he's crap. And I'm like, he's literally the best defender we've got at taking the ball out from the back. If we want to play out from the back, he's the best player we've got. We should not... And also, he gets it mentally. Mentally, he gets it. So I do not want to see Martinez leaving Manchester United, but I just would say it feels like there is a little bit of something going on there with that one. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with it. Just on midfielders, Mark, who do you think? Well, I thought it was an interesting thing that in The Athletic, I think it was Laurie Whitwell, he said that when it comes to midfielders, there's a lot of names and they are progressing on some of them. They're progressing to the point of how much will it cost with the transfer fee and the wages, and would they come to an agreement on personal terms before that point? There's options out there. Belaba, Fernandes, Wharton, Tenali, Anderson, and he's clearly the number one. So
I think with the midfielder,
it does feel like it's the same names all the time. What I would say about Fernandes is that I think there was a crossover with him at Southampton and Jason Wilcox. So for once, Wilcox might have actually been near a player that we'd like, because normally it's a player we don't want, like Delap. But I think there was a little bit of crossover between Wilcox and Fernandes at Southampton before he went to West Ham, I think. So maybe that's something to just keep in your back pocket. Daniel Thompson says, I think Carrick will get the job, but do you think there's different transfer plans and strategies in place? One for Carrick and one for if we get Iriola, and if they choose Carrick, it's because the plan is cheaper. I'll tell you what I do think, Daniel. Yes, I'd take Iriola or Alonso over Carrick for obvious reasons, but the longer we... Like, I agree with Rooney on this, right? Why are they waiting so long to give Carrick the job when they could just give him the job and get on with signing players? But think of it like this, right? It's the 12th of May. It's still nearly 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks until the end of the season. So the end of the season is like, what, the 24th of May or something like that? That's basically the end of the month. Then the World Cup starts. Most of our players aren't back for pre-season until the middle of July. You're at that point now where instead of just talking about Iriola, Nagelsmann and Pochettino, like, we're talking such a small, you know, I've never believed that we shouldn't be talking to World Cup managers, because they're not in a, you know, they're not in a prison with no phone access. They're in the United States with most of our squad and most of the players we want to sign. And once they've done their training and the media commitments, they've got plenty of time to talk to Manchester United. So I think that, you know, it isn't just Iriola. For me, it should still be Pochettino, Iriola and Nagelsmann as well. And maybe even Emery. Like, maybe I got told 2 months ago that Real Madrid were going to get Emery. So there's obviously an opportunity to get him out of Villa. So let's not forget, there are good options out there. Mourinho's good enough for Madrid, but not for us. It's a joke, says Simon. I can't understand anybody that wouldn't take Mourinho, to be honest with you. If Carrick gets the job, do you think Mazraoui will be sold? I didn't answer that, Dirty Deeds. Yeah, so I spoke to you about Martinez. I think Mazraoui could get sold this summer, yeah. I don't really understand. You know, somebody said to me yesterday, oh, you want Luke Shaw out the team? Who are we going to put at left-back, the imaginary left-back? I said, no, we'll put Mazraoui there, who was better than him when he came on against Palace. So I don't understand why Mazraoui's not getting used, but maybe it's because he's not that good going forward, but he's still better than Shaw and Delo, in my opinion. Billy says, why did you throw your toys out of the pram? Mate, it's all on the stream, and this is the United stand, and I don't really think it's the place for me to be talking about something that's got nothing to do with it, but ultimately, you know, I believe what I did was right. I stand by it. I thought there was injustice across the night. There's decisions and stuff going on that you don't know about. And I'm not going to sit there and just be a victim of, stupidity. So I went and sat in the streaming booth. I didn't storm off completely. I just went and sat in the streaming booth. Why do you expect good football from a media? I've done that one from Wendell. Thank you very much. I just wanted to read out. Daniel Thompson says, I think... I've done that one from Daniel. Thank you very much for your super chat. I just wanted to read this because I mentioned the Paul Merson thing and somebody said, have you got the quote? So Paul Merson on Sky Sports said, Liverpool will finish above Man United next season, and that's without knowing what's going to happen in the summer transfer window. Why? So many players have had good seasons for Man United and hardly anyone has for Liverpool bar Szoboszlai. You go through Man United's team and there's six or seven players who've been above average this season. Isak will be fit. Wirtz will have a year in the league. I'm confident Liverpool will finish above Man United. A lot's gone on at Liverpool. I do feel sorry for them with everything that's gone on. They've had a lot of injuries too. Look, he might be talking total and utter shit, but when I read it, I thought, you know what? He hasn't mentioned it, but there is an element of truth that they've been playing in the Champions League, the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup. We've not played any cup competitions. Bruno has been very much, it's been team Bruno for a lot of the season. Casemiro's been brilliant. He won't be here. And we've just spent 20 minutes talking about how we're going to replace him. Carrick has been getting some great results, but a lot of people don't think it's sustainable. So I'm not massively worried about Liverpool under Slot, but you can see why Liverpool could be better than us next year. But I do disagree that this all comes down to the summer transfer window. It has to come down to the summer transfer window. We have to do well in that. If we don't do well in it, look, to me, take the manager out of the situation, right? If United sign Tonali, Stiller, Fernandes as their three midfielders, and you bring in someone like Truffert at left back, and I don't know, NG from Everton, I think there's a very good chance that we'll be in the top four next season and do really well. If we bring in, say, Ederson, Baleba, and I don't know who the third one would even be, but, you know, let's say Tyler Adams, and the left back is Diouf, I think that's concerning. So I disagree with Merson in the sense that I think United's summer is so much about what we do this summer transfer window. Exactly. Where do you think United be with Arsenal's attacks as Theatre of Dreams? It's sort of irrelevant, isn't it? I mean, I don't know because I just don't think it's about taking City's attack or Real Madrid's attack and stick it in a Man United side, because I think it's about the midfield. I think with Arsenal's midfield, we'd be a lot closer to Arsenal and Man City, but we'd still be third. I don't think their attack makes a massive difference. I'm not unhappy with our attack. I think we can get more out of Ahmad and Mbeumo and Cunha, but I'm not unhappy with our attack. My issue is with our midfield and our fullbacks. I think that's a very relevant point, and I've heard a lot of you say it as well. We misinterpret all our problems. Our midfield is a problem, but there are other problems as well. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I'm a bit tired this morning because obviously I had a very eventful night last night, but I am back with you on an 8 o'clock show tonight, and we've got a 2 o'clock show for you as well. So thank you everybody who's getting involved. And yeah, I will keep you updated. Just follow me on Instagram for all the Baller League stuff and the Goldbridge channel, because I've got some stuff I'm going to be putting up on there as well. But no, we're here to talk about United. Love it. Look, I think the message is positive. At the moment, everything is possible. Until that's taken away, that's when we can start to really scrutinise the failure. But the failure hasn't happened yet. There is still possibilities for Manchester United. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Have a great day.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.